Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you right now. The lines are open, and we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you would like to talk about, give us a call now, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, guys, when I pray, I want God to listen to me, and I want God to answer and give me what I've asked for. Is there a way for that to happen? Well, you know, if you look at the Word of God, the answer is yes. There's a way for that to happen, for God to hear you and for God to give you what you've requested. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Maybe that's intriguing to you. Maybe you want your prayer life to be like that, your prayers to be answered in such a way that is just glorifying to God. Well, there's a way for that to happen. John talks about it in his first letter, John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. We can approach God. The finished work of Jesus Christ allows us to approach God boldly with confidence, enter into that throne of grace. The curtain has been torn from top to bottom. We can go in. We can approach God. Talk about just a miraculous good news line. That is it, just right there. Yeah. We can approach God, and we can have a confidence in approaching God. He says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So he's going to listen to us. And here he goes on to say, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. Talk about a good news, just blow you away passage. That's it. God hears and he answers. He gives you exactly what you've asked from him. But the operative word is the fact that we pray according to God's will. That's when prayer really matters, when we pray according to God's will. So what in the world does that mean, Richard? What is John trying to get to when he says to pray according to God's will?
Well, you have to look at the broader context of the close of this letter. I mean, he's coming to a conclusion here, and these two passages, 14 and 15, that you just read, are part of that conclusion. He opens it in verse 11 by saying, "This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life." Okay? There's a bold statement. Jesus is life. And then he writes to us. He's written this whole letter to us so that those of us who believe in the name of the Son of God may know that we have eternal life. And he uses this word know several times. We know that we have eternal life. We know that he hears us. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. We know that we are children of God. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God in eternal life. If you want to know what God's will is in this context, it has to do with knowing all these things we've been given in Jesus. Well, how do we know that stuff? Well, it's the Holy Spirit who reveals it to us. That's the Holy Spirit's explicit job, is to take the things of God and make them known to us. And so if the Holy Spirit is renewing our minds and explaining to us all these things that we're supposed to know and what they mean, then he is the one who is bringing these requests to us and saying, here's what I want you to have. Here's what I want you to understand. Here's what you need to ask for. And because the Holy Spirit is already living in us as a down payment, and because that down payment is the guarantee of what's to come, then when we pray based on what the Holy Spirit has been teaching us, we, by definition, are praying in God's will. It has everything to do with Jesus and how the Holy Spirit reveals him to us.
Yeah, I think that's such an important truth for us to really embrace, the fact that God initiates, we respond.
Yes.
And a lot of times we reverse that when it comes to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We're initiating something to God in hopes that he's going to listen, And if we're not sure he's going to listen to me individually, then I'm going to tag several of my friends. We're going to gather together.
Yes.
And hopefully we can say enough words and say them in the right way. We're going to wake up God. He's going to then pay attention. And then maybe he will give us what we're asking for. So that's how oftentimes we approach God, that he is not already attentive to our needs, that he doesn't already know what we need before we ask him. We think that he's just up there minding his own business, not really paying much attention to us. So we have to do some things to rattle his cage, so to speak, to wake him up, to get him to pay attention to us. But that's not the way it is. If we're praying according to God's will, we are already listening to God through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Those two are working hand in glove, the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And so as we listen and hear what the Spirit is saying to us about the Lord Jesus Christ and this eternal life that we have, then our prayers are going to take shape based on those promptings. And as you said, by definition, we will be praying the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exciting. And as we pray the will of God, he hears and he answers.
Yes.
Now, this brings up several passages of Scripture. Back in Psalm 66, I think 66:18, it says, "If I regard iniquity," or "if I cherish iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me." So there's a lot of people that will simply say, well, we in prayer we have to make sure we have to confess all of our sins. No, that's not the case. That's not what the psalmist is saying there, what David is saying. If I viewed sin as the end, if that's what I was hoping to be my end as far as my prayer is concerned, God isn't going to hear that. God isn't interested in stamping his seal of approval on our evil schemes.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have as wickedness, as sinfulness, as the end, if that's what I'm looking toward, and that's what that word raha means in the Hebrew. It's a word that means to see, and in the particular verb tense that it's in, it's to an end.
Yes.
If I'm looking to this as an end, if that's what I'm requesting of God, God isn't going to hear that. James, I think, piggybacks on that thought when he says, "You have not because you ask not, because you're asking with wrong motives so that you can spend it on your own pleasures."
Yes.
So you have sinfulness in mind. You have your own fleshly desires in mind. Well, God isn't interested in answering those prayers. Why? Because those prayers aren't to your benefit. Those are going to be to your detriment. Sin may look good on the surface. Sin may promise you something that you don't have right now. But that's not what its end is. Its end is to steal, kill, and destroy. So God isn't going to honor those requests. He isn't even going to pay attention, really, because they're not things that matter as far as he is concerned, and they really shouldn't matter as far as you're concerned. So praying the will of God is listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. It's not listening to the desires of the flesh and saying, "This is what's going to make me happy." You know, there are so many people out there that, pray, "Lord, this guy or this girl is just the perfect person for me." Well, are they believers? No. But it's just the perfect person for me, and I want to move forward. Lord, bless this. That's not, you know, that's not what God is going to bless.
Fix it, Lord.
Yeah, yeah. So we have to pray according not to our fleshly desires, mm-hmm. but according to the Spirit's desires. And by definition, when we pray the Spirit's desires, that's going to be the will of God for us.
Absolutely.
God hears. God already gives us what we've asked.
We already have it.
Absolutely. What a wonderful truth. And
yes.
So I think our big thing is, Lord, teach me the will of God. And as the Spirit starts to teach you the will of God, your prayers will start taking shape in a powerful and effective way.
Absolutely. Well, considering all these things, we come to the conclusion that prayer actually does matter. There is prayer that matters. As a matter of fact, we're so convinced of that fact that we have produced a CD by the same name, and it is available now. Bob and Richard sat down recently and recorded a dynamic conversation about prayer, and we want to share it with you. This CD, it is yours with your gift to Basic Gospel, and will encourage and empower you to take your cares to God in full confidence that He is able to deal with them. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net for your copy of Prayer That Matters. Right now, plenty of open lines. Time on the clock, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. I want to say thank you to all the folks that have been sending in their prayer requests this month. That's just been fabulous to see. And to be able to join you as you offer up those prayers to God. We've had folks that have written to us and said, please pray for the salvation of my children and my grandchildren, or please pray for this. We have a wonderful church up in Indianapolis that supports our outreach as a part of their missionary outreach to share the good news around the world. And they've sent in a request to pray for a situation that they're going through as far as their property is concerned. So I love how people are being specific and writing those requests to us. It's such an honor to join with you in praying for those specific things. So to our listeners, if you would like to send in a request, we have a way to do that through our website on our donor page, I think, and or you can send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Yeah. So we want to pray with you as you offer up these prayers and requests to God as far as your current situation is concerned. Yes.
Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. We thank you for joining us. And once again, the phone number is 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Ryan, who's listening to us in Lacombe, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Doing okay. I was the Canadian listener that was called, I think it was probably a month or so ago. I have the terminal brain cancer. I was struggling with my assurance and my salvation. I'm not sure if you remember the call, but it was, you sent me a few resources, which was awesome. And I listened to the Drive the Stake series. And there was one part that I really like. I've been struggling with my assurance of my salvation for about 15 years or so. You talk about it kind of like a 95-5 person. I think I was maybe an 80-20 with my assurance. What you kind of were able to really put in plain terms enough for me to kind of understand, even with, stage 4 brain cancer, basically, do you believe that Christ took the full penalty for your sins? And I was like, yes. So then what else is left? And it's like, what punishment is left for you? And I never really thought of it that way. And I got a weird mental picture, which probably my brain tumor, I'm sure, assisted with, that I just wanted to share with you guys, as I think that it might resonate with some other people. My thoughts when I heard that was, let's say the penalty for death is you get a dozen eggs thrown at you. And that's the penalty for death. Like, let's say that that's it. So I go up there, I watch everyone, the executioner comes out with his the dozen eggs. Each person has, with the person's name listed on the egg carton. And they get pelted with the dozen eggs. And then, I hear my name to get called out. And I start walking out to get hit with my dozen eggs. And almost like kind of when you stop a car and you hold out your hand to block a passenger from moving, hitting their head or whatnot on the dash. Kind of, I almost, my vision was like, okay, Jesus is saying, I got this. So when my name gets called out, he holds me back, he walks out, I watch 12, a dozen eggs get thrown out at Jesus. He's covered in yolk mess, just looking back at me, and I saw all 12, and that carton had my name on it, and I look, and I'm like, well, what punishment is left? It was almost like the woman, like, who's left to condemn you? Like, And it, for me, that example was like, wow, like I saw the entire full punishment going on Jesus, and it was like it became so clear to me that, no, Jesus took the full punishment. He didn't take 11 eggs. He took the whole dozen. I'm hoping that that makes some a difficult thing kind of a little bit simple maybe to think about.
Well, Ryan, I appreciate that.
Awesome.
And yeah, I really, gosh, admire that. You know, so often we might hear some analogies or illustrations and, you know, we just adopt those as, mm-hmm. as our own. But I think when people really start to let the truth kind of go through their minds and they come out with their own illustrations, that's when the truth really starts to sink in and when you know that you really believe it. And I think that's a powerful illustration, Ryan. There's no more eggs to be thrown at you. Jesus took them all. There's no more punishment left for you. And that means that you can rest. And what a powerful position that is, to rest in the assurance of your salvation. And, you know, we're all looking for that certainty in life. And when we can break down those complex truths to their simplest forms, that's when certainty really hits our hearts.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Ryan, I'm so, just...
I struggled with it, and I mean, this made it even harder with brain cancer, and then just God gave me a moment of almost like childlike clarity kind of what is going on, and then that was sort of the example that I thought of, and I was like, if I saw 12 eggs, that's a dozen eggs. To my knowledge, they don't have a 13th egg in there.
Right.
So it was, you know, and that carton said my name on it, and it, Jesus, I saw all 12, you know, go right at Jesus. I saw him covered in yolk, you know, and I looked at it.
And they were all rotten.
That's it. And he took the full penalty. He didn't take 8 eggs, you know, and leave me 4.
Well, Ryan, how are you feeling, my friend? And you doing okay? Well, it's just kind of an up and down on a day-to-day thing?
Yeah, I'm the tumor's stable. I have my next MRI. I believe it's October, somewhere in October, but I think it's maybe October 5th. So I'm, you know, it's stage 4 brain cancer, but in the, I don't see that as a death sentence. In fact, I see it as a life sentence, and saying that, you know, I'm now able to really just go out there with reckless abandon, so to speak, witnessing and preaching the gospel, and almost like I have nothing to lose. So it's, in a way, it's almost like I'm probably doing what God wanted me to do in the first place. But it, you know, it took a little bit of an about face in my life to kind of really accept the challenge and say, I'm going to use this to glorify God and encourage as many people as I can and add as many people to the kingdom while I'm while I'm here on earth. And,
yeah, well, that's just wonderful, Ryan. Well, I'm going to actually be in Canada in Langley. I don't know how close that is to you.
I think that's in British Columbia.
Alberta, so you're in Alberta. Okay.
It's not that long a walk across the Rockies.
But I will be, and we're actually trying to put together something in Alberta as well, and we'll give you some information. But that weekend is going to be September 23rd, 24th, and 25th. So to all of our Canadian listeners, I will be up there for a Simply Grace conference. So come and join us. All the information is on our website. Ryan, we'd love to see you. And let me just pray with you real quickly, Ryan, that just something on my heart
thank
that
you.
Wants to do that. Okay, my friend? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for our brother, Ryan. Thank you that you've reached out to him in such a wonderful and clear way to give rest to his heart, to give assurance to his soul that he knows that he knows that he belongs to you, and that when he is one day absent from the body, he is going to be present with you. Thank you for that gift of assurance. Thank you for that gift of grace. Continue to allow that assurance and that peace guard his heart and mind as he goes through this difficult trial of brain cancer. But we know that you know all about that, and that you are working in his life, and you are working all things together for his good. And we praise you and thank you for that. In Christ's matchless name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Ryan, you're a blessing to us. You're an encouragement to us. And I know God is using you in incredible ways to shout from the rooftops the good news of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And
yeah, I think people would get a little nervous if I tried climbing on my roof, but the shouting out. But the stage 4 brain cancer patients aren't really encouraged to climb on a roof.
Yeah, I get that.
So this is my my shouting on the rooftop. Just that little example. I pray that someone out there that maybe struggles like me can be like, hey, that makes sense now.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, thank you for calling in, and thank you for sharing that. And we'll look forward to hearing from you again real soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll call back sometime in the near future. I'm not planning on going anywhere.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Ryan. Yeah, we'll look forward to hearing from you. Bye-bye, my friend. Well, let's go to Thorndale, Texas, and talk with Clay. Hi, Clay. You're on the air.
Hey, first off, I do want to rejoice that Ryan's name's been in the Lamb's Book of Life, and to say I agree with everything that you spoke in prayer and come into agreement with it in Jesus' name. Hey, you know where it talks about that God worked 6 days and on the Sabbath day he rested, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you were talking about God's will, okay, and prayer. So anything that we're praying, it has to be to God's will, because he's not doing any creative. He's not creating anymore. We're coming into agreement with whatever he's done. So I always like to take stuff back to the beginning, and I wanted to get your opinion on this, or what you see on this. It says that the Spirit hovered upon the water. You were talking about the Word and the Spirit, okay? And then God spoke a word. Spoke the word, and then things were created, okay? So that was, so to speak, when the Spirit and the Word of God comes together, that becomes like the voice of God, okay? And the only thing that will bring that to pass is coming into agreement with what he's already done. Because when I first got into this, I went to prayer school. I would study the logos with my head. I call it pinata prayer. Just sit there swinging, blindfolded, and swinging.
See what sticks.
And trouble is, if I'd finally hit something I think I'd hit, it'd break open, but everybody else would get it because I was blindfolded. Well, I don't do that now. I do it specific, according to God's worded word, and I just don't pull it out of a bag. I'll pray in the Spirit and meditate upon the word, and it's like it comes up. Like Richard was saying, out of my innermost being, and it's no longer the logos, but it's as if God's spoken. And you know what? It always agrees with his written word, and that's where I see, like, I have the most.
Well, Clay, let me jump in. We're about out of time, but I think you're absolutely right. And just as we mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, at the outset, that praying according to the will of God, it's the Spirit moving in us. And it's the Spirit of God and the Word of God working hand in glove within us. And if we're listening to the Spirit of God, and as he's teaching us what the Word of God is really saying and meaning to us, then I think we're going to be praying according to the will of God. So, Clay, I think you're spot on, and sure appreciate your great comments today. So thanks for being a part of today's edition of Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Friends, we would love to hear from you. If you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, you can record your question, and we'll be glad to address it on a later edition, perhaps the following day on Basic Gospel. Simply go to our website. That, of course, is basicgospel.net. Click the radio tab, and you'll find an on-air question link right there. You can leave a voicemail question, or you can write your text, and we'll be glad to address it. So either way, we look forward to hearing from you. Well, Bob and Richard, of course, recently recorded a very dynamic conversation about prayer. You'll receive a copy with your gift to Basic Gospel this month. It's called Prayer That Matters, and we encourage you. It will encourage you and empower you to take your cares to God in full confidence. Make your gift and request your copy of Prayer That Matters. Click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.